earlier today we started looking at God. Yeah, in the morning, and just the sovereignty of God. And I think, as I was explaining, that God is, he was God even before us, before time, after time, beyond time, he will be God. And God doesn't need anything from us. I think it's Psalms 50. Maybe if you can quickly jump to that so that we link that. Psalms 50, yeah, it has an interesting, how God was not happy with the Israelites. Maybe we can just quickly look at that. Okay. Psalms 50. And change the version so that it is easier to read. Okay, New Living. Okay, fine. So just from verse 7, Psalms 50 verse 7, it says, "O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer, but I do not need bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell you, for all the world is mine, and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." Let me just stop there. You know, when we say that God does not need anything from us, many times people think that by what they offer to God, and offering can be money, can be time, it can be energy, you know, it can be, oh, you know, I've fasted, I've done this. Many people think that moves the hand of God. And that's what we were saying, that yes, there are things that we do that make God act. But it does not mean that we are the ones who move the hand of God. Now, what do I mean by that? I think it's about finding the balance between knowing that prayer gets us in line with God to the place where the answer of God is. Maybe that's a better way. Assuming, if you think of the sun. Now, the sun is constant. The sun's rays are there. The sun comes out at this time and goes out at this time. Now, a plant. If you, let's say, I know, like this house plants. Eh? And then if you put it next to a window, you will find that the plant grows towards the light. If you move it away, it will still continue to grow towards the light. Now, I will consider God being like that, like the sun, and us being like the plants. Now, what prayer does is that it moves us away from our shadows and moves us towards the light of God. So, whenever we pray, whenever we fast, whenever we give thanks to God, whenever we do all those things that we human things being things that made God do something, rather, it's the other way around. Everything that we did just brought us into alignment to where God's answer is already given. Like you see, when we say the finished works of Christ, that he's defeated all works of darkness. Eh? He made a public spectacle of the devil. You know, he defeated all principalities or powers. At this point, there's no other battle he's fighting. The battle is already won. Now, for us, until we come to the plane or to the understanding or to the faith that the battle has been won, we will always be in defeat. Yet, Christ has already won the battle for us. So it's like we are in the shadows, yet there is an answer that God has already given. Now, until either the reading of the word, until prayer, until fasting, until giving, moves us from where we are hidden and brings us to the place of where God's answer, God's revelation is, we stay defeated. And so the difference is that it's not us who moved the hand of God, but it is us that moved towards where the hand of God is. So the essence of prayer is that prayer works in us. It humbles us. In fact, prayerlessness, someone I think has said it, that prayerlessness is pride. If you find that, especially when people don't fully understand the doctrine of grace, they take advantage or they think that it doesn't matter to God. You understand? Someone will be like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm already forgiven. I mean, forgiveness is already paid. Christ already paid. It doesn't matter what I eat. I mean, I have divine health. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to do anything. Now, that is zeal without knowledge. When in the Bible tells us his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. Now, what does that mean? Maybe we can just get that verse so that we just look at it in detail. I believe it's 1 Peter 2... First Peter, Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. Just a second. Okay. Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. I want us to just look at it so that we Second Peter chapter 1 verse 3. I will read from King James. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. If we look at this other version, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So now, what is this scripture telling us? Is that in God's provision, he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So that means that your academics is provided for. Your marriage is provided for. Your children are provided for. Your health is provided for. But, not even but, in God, everything that you need for life and godliness is provided for. Now, the question is, how do you come to know this? Through knowledge of him. Now, knowledge of God means that we have to rub off all traditions. I don't know whether the word is traditions or everything that we think we know about God. Conventional wisdom, conventional knowledge, human knowledge, human perception. And really ask ourselves, what has God revealed about himself in the scriptures that this is how we should worship him? Remember, that's what we're talking about in the morning. That how can we know and experience God and know that this is how he has called us to worship him? So it is this knowledge, and the word there in Greek is epignosis, means experiential knowledge. So as you grow in knowledge of God. And that's why for me, I believe teaching is the highest or the best form of deliverance that you can give anyone. And anyone that is taught the word of God grows faster than someone who is just in signs and miracles. And you will see that churches that even have what people in quotes call a boring preacher. But if you look at their lives, they're very stable. Because the word has that effect. I mean, even if you go to US, people say US is behind. What? But if you go to those churches that have this pastor that preaches for the 60 years with them, if you look at all their lives, those guys are stable. They have families that are stable. They have children that are stable. They have grown in every aspect because the word is the seed. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word. And this word is the one that builds, is the one that establishes, is the one that delivers us from the warfare of the mind. Because I personally believe that the warfare of our time as a new creation is slightly different from what we would think the warfare of Daniel was. Because the warfare of Daniel was, he prayed, his answer was given in heaven, but then in between, the prince of Persia resisted his answer. But you see, for our time, Christ, Christ has already defeated the works of darkness. Christ has paid the price. He made a public spectacle of them. And the Bible tells us that he raised us up. As he's resurrected, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. That means that our position as a new creation is at the right hand of the Father with Christ. That means we have direct access to God. We have an immediate answer to God, and nothing hinders our answers or our whatever God blessing has blessed us with. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. So that means that everything that God desires for us, he's already given it to us. Now, someone will be like, okay, I believe healing is given. I believe wealth is given. I believe honor is given. I believe glory is given. But why does it not translate in the physical? And that's a question many people ask. And that's the reason why actually many people leave the faith, because they say, and that's what, you know, people will ask you, what do you have to show for your faith? You've been saying you're following God. You've been saying you're trusting God. Why didn't it not work for you? Because to them, the God that they think they should have is a God that they can, who answers them everything. A God they can manipulate, and a God who is like a magician. I want a car, Range Rover appear. Yes, 1 month the car will appear. But it does not work like that. Now, the difference, the same way that we are saying, is that through knowledge of him. Now, the knowledge, how do we acquire that knowledge? We acquire the knowledge through a relationship. As you sit under the word of God, you're taught how to pray. As you read the word, you're taught how to pray. You understand his requirements, his righteous requirements. I mean, what does he expect of us to do with regards to our faith? Because the Bible says we are co-workers with God. That means that there are things that God expects us to do our part. There's also that which he has already done. Now, as you get to know God, then you get to understand how does finances work with God. What are God's principles for money? Then you discover that with God, all the money belongs to him. And the Bible says he's given it to all of us.
Everything that we have comes from him. There's nothing that anyone has that did not come from God. But then now the question is, after he's given to it to you, what heart do you have in response to the wealth that God has given you? Then you will see, he says, take care of the poor. He will say, give your offering. He will say, look at the needs of the servants of God. Look at the needs of the church. Look at the needs of spreading the gospel. So now, it is your response to the immense gifting of God that when you see how he says, I think if you listen to the teaching on giving, that in everything that God gives us, there is a seed and there is bread. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that it is he that gives bread to the sower, seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So everything that God gives us, there is a seed and there is bread. Now the problem is when people receive, they eat everything. They eat even the seed. But even the farmer himself will never eat his seed. They will always select the best of the seeds for the next season and set them aside for the next planting, even in the natural. So likewise, anything that we receive from God, once you understand his principles of money and wealth, then you also know that God does not just generate money out of the blues. Otherwise, you'll be a counterfeit. God says he blesses the work of our hands. I am the Lord your God who blesses your food, blesses your water, blesses the, gives you the power to make wealth. Deuteronomy 8, is it 18? I give you the power to make wealth. That means that there is a power that God gives you. He does not, he's able to make you wealthy, but he does not make you wealthy outside of the work of your hands. So it is within your circle, it is within your mind, it is within your ideas that God is able to generate wealth to you. Now, if you're not doing anything, even if you go and fast for 40 days, you go to the mountain, money will not appear. Now, the way that servants of God make money, or rather God blesses them, God has purposed the servants of God to make money, is different from the way that God expects the congregation to make money. Now, for the servants of God, what they do is that they minister a spiritual seed to you. They sow a spiritual seed in the lives of the congregation. Now, the Bible also commands that anyone that receives instruction in the word should share good things with their instructor. And that is how even the Levites, they were not given land. But as they ministered to the people, they also had a portion of what was given by the people for offering. But nowadays, they take everything. Their churches where whatever is given, it was supposed to be a portion. But nowadays, some churches, it's 100% is grabbed by one person. Even the assistant pastor sees nothing. And that's why there are many breakaways, because they say, maybe if I have my own church, then I can eat everything. And then the same seed continues. He goes, he has his people, he does not take care of them. They also break away because he saw the first person do that. But you see, all the Levites were provided for. The Levites, the musicians. So these are principles in God that even guide with the usage of his own money. So servants of God, as they sow the spiritual seed, they add value in the people. And the people, when they reflect on how God has blessed them through the word, then in response, they also give and they sow in the servants of God. So now, if you are a farmer, and you say, no, let me go also and pray, and you don't plant, then you're outside the blessing system of God. Because God blesses the work of our hands. Even Paul said, anyone who does not work must not eat. So the reason Paul could demand from the Corinthian church is, or from the Philippian church, is because he has labored in them. But you find someone has not labored in people and expects that people will do it. That's why you say someone, oh, who has this money? Who has this money? Because they don't understand the principle of sowing and reaping. So for the servants of God, it is different in that as they sow the spiritual seed, God also moves in their hearts and they do the same for the servants of God. But then for us who are not Levites, the principle of wealth that God has given is through our work. Either you will sell a product or you'll offer a service. It's just buying and selling. So it is value. Either you add value through a service, you get something, you improve it, you add value, you sell it, you manufacture it, or you have a good. You buy land, you add value to it, you sell it. So unless you're doing something with the work of your hands, God will not rain blessings outside of that. So that's what people must know. Either if you're writing a book, then God can bless the book. If you're having a farm, God will bless the farm. So your hands determine the extent that you go. So when we say His divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness, the potential to be blessed or the potential to be wealthy is given to by God to you. But now if you don't do your part through knowledge that you have acquired either in school, that's why going to school is important, you have not acquired knowledge building skills, you're not adding to your master's. I mean, it's like, there are jobs that if they say they want a master's position, even if you go on fast and you have a certificate, you will not be taken. And if you are taken, they will give you 3 months. They will tell you, we have taken you. But in the next 3 years, we expect you to have this paper. Because yes, there are people who are taken, yes, minus those qualifications, but the requirement does not go down. It's a waiver that is given for a period. Now, there are people who've lost their jobs because they did not meet that requirement within that waiver period. I remember, I think in South Sudan, there were times when it was like that. At the onset, CPA, they just needed anyone who can do English. People became specialists, people became what, without anything. But then they were told, within this period, you must get the quality. Some people took it lightly. And the period reached, and the papers were not there. And they lost their positions. So the things with God, His blessings come through knowledge of Him. So God's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of Him. Every spiritual blessing is given in Christ. Anointing is already given. Speaking in tongues is already given. Everything that we think, healing is already given. But the question is, have we brought ourselves to the knowledge, to the place where we understand how God has allocated these resources for us? And that is where that's where the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. So there are things that God has hidden in mysteries and His secrets. But you see, the Bible tells us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, but He has revealed it to us through His Spirit. So anyone who does not recognize the place of the Holy Spirit is outside the place of provision, is outside the place of knowledge, is outside the place of wisdom, is outside the place of revelation. And when you're outside of that, you're walking in darkness. The reason why people find their destinies is because at one point they heard the voice of God, either in their spirits, either through their parents, either through their pastors, or through their friends or their wives. But when they listened and they figured that this one must be the voice of God, and when they obeyed and they even applied for that job, it made the difference. Because if you never apply for the job, there's no way the job can appear. But if you apply, then God is able to use out of those applications that you've done and convert one to be where He wants you to be. Yeah. So human effort has a place to play in the work of God. So our hands are very important. So that's why we need to be practical human beings. Like, if you're not doing your assignments or you're not reading, there's nothing that the Holy Spirit will remind you. Even if you dip someone in anointing oil, if that does not know Krebs cycle, and the exam is Krebs cycle, it will not magically appear. But someone who read Krebs cycle and asks God for the memory, God will remind that. So being a co-worker with God means that we have to do our part. And this is not just for wealth. It is for everything spiritual. Now, God has called us to pray to him. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and wondrous things that you do not know." Great and marvelous things that you do not know. Now, God wants to show us things. God wants to reveal to us our future. God wants to reveal to us what we need to do for our children. God needs to reveal to us where we need to set up an investment. But he has said in his word that, "Call unto me and I will answer you." Now, if you don't call unto God, then God will remain with his answer and he will keep waiting. And his answer is already yes and amen. Remember, we know, we read, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So the yes is with God. But since you have not come and asked, then that means you know. Yet the Bible says it is not given for man to direct himself. Romans 8:14. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." So the question is, do we know what is denying the thing that we think God, that the thing that God has provided from us receiving it? That is the difference, and that difference is only by knowledge. Now the question is, how do you find this knowledge? Buy the knowledge, read the knowledge, work with the knowledge, find people, talk to people, find servants of God, seek God in prayer, seek the leading of the Holy Spirit, and God says he will give us that knowledge. So we are that tree that needs to find its way to the light for us to grow and get photosynthesis. So prayer does not move God, but moves us to the light. It moves us to align to God. So prayer is absolutely necessary for the New Testament believer, for the new creation. Yet also, prayer does not work in isolation. It works with knowledge. It works with the right heart. It works with wisdom. It also works with doing your part. You cannot pray and not act. And then also, you cannot pray without faith. Because the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he exists. Now, there are many people who pray and they don't even think that what they are praying for will happen.
They're just giving it a try.
They're just giving it a try. For me, I think the example is, even in the early church, when is it Acts 13 or which is that chapter? Okay, maybe 8 maybe. When Peter was arrested, the Bible says that James was arrested by Herod and killed. Then when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, that he went and for Peter. But the Bible says, but prayer was made for Peter to rescue him, and they made fervent prayer. Honest. And then the angel appeared, told Peter, wake up, got up, went with him, walked with him to the city, then brought him into the city, then told him, now go. Then the guy went and knocked. When he went and knocked, the slave girl opened and closed the door, and went and told the people praying, Peter is at the door. Did they believe him? Believe the girl? No. They said, no, you're joking. That it might be his ghost, his angel. So, those guys were praying. But they did not actually believe that their prayer will be answered. And their prayer was answered. Now, that is faith. Now, faith must believe that you have prayed and God can answer and will answer. Now, if you don't expect an answer from God, then you've wasted your prayer. Because the Bible says, everyone that comes to God must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Everyone that comes to him must believe that God exists. So the first thing that you're coming to God is that you believe that he exists. Now, if you come to God, you're saying, I'm just trying. You see, the way people come saying, let me try this man of God. Already, you've lost it. Because you don't believe, you're trying. That means even as you come is zero. You're already defeated because you're trying. But anyone that comes to God must believe that God is. So if you don't believe that God is, you wasted your prayer. And many people pray without even believing that God hears them, without even believing that what they're asking from God is possible. You find someone who's a cancer patient, looks very sick. And even as you're praying, you say, oh God, yeah, just help them to die, to die quickly. Because in your heart, you know, remember we talked about the inner man, the inner man, the two minds. You have your outer mind and your inner mind. In your outer mind, you are just saying, God, pray for healing. But in your heart, you're saying, this one cannot be healed. That prayer is also not answered. Because for sure, you don't believe what you're praying for. Your inner man does not agree. And that's why Jesus was very keen. Whenever he wanted to raise the dead, the slave girl, what did he say? He said, get everyone outside here. Out. Why? Because he does not want people who are not even believing that this girl can be raised from the dead, because they will add doubt. So basically he says, if you don't believe, get out. But now that I'm left with the people who believe, let us raise this girl. Now, that principle is just the principle that God exists. Anyone that comes to God must believe that God exists and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Many people come to God, but they are not diligent. They don't believe in the ask, seek, knock. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For me, I see the reason many people don't even have answers to prayer is because they just don't believe God. And they don't believe in the omnipotence of God, all-powerful of God. They don't believe in the omniscient, all-knowing of God. They don't believe in the omnipresent, that God can answer a prayer that is in, you know, in another country. Your child is sick in another country and you can pray and God can answer. They don't believe that. But if you believe, then with God, nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible. I believe the reason why Sarah also delayed in having a child is because herself she did not believe. But the Bible says, but Sarah, even though she was old, considered him faithful. She was enabled to have a child because she judged him faithful. That means that the faith of Abraham was there. It was enough. But God also has to prove to Sarah. Sarah has to get to the point herself where she says, but this person who has told me that I will have a child is faithful. And with the moment she judged him faithful, then she received strength to conceive seed. The seed was always there in Abraham. But then she received strength to conceive seed. So we must always examine ourselves. For me, one thing I've learned to say, if something is not happening, I am the problem, not God's word. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let me be the liar. You know, I was listening to a testimony, when he was it yesterday, and of a preacher who had received permanent voice damage. And it's an audio, and actually he was preaching. And you can hear how his voice is, you're saying, and then now you see, when he started preaching, he started saying that, you know, if we say that Isaiah 53, where by his stripes we are healed, it is not physical healing, it is spiritual healing. So that's what he started saying. And I was like, no, that's wrong theology. You know? And then he started saying that, you know, if we are to say that God will heal everyone, we are deceiving ourselves. You know, there are people who God will, you know, God will never heal. And I think because of his own experience of his voice, where he had permanent voice damage, he had already believed that physical healing is not paid for in salvation in with Christ. And you know, as he was speaking, he started reading Psalms 103. And then God who heals all our diseases and redeems our, when he just got to the part, redeems our life from the pit, God healed his voice instantly. And then the guy's voice became clear. Redeems our lives from the pit. Then he starts crying. He could not believe that his voice has just been healed, because God has to correct. Because he's a pastor and he's going to teach the wrong thing. So God has to remind him that, you know what? No. It was physical healing. And his voice was healed, and he started crying, and then he just continued reading the word. And his voice just went back to normal. Just like it was before. And I said, look at God. I was like, yes, that is God. Because what you're saying is wrong. You're basing it on your experience, not on the experience of God, not on who God is. So God, there are things that God answers us for his glory. And for me, that was a situation where God took his glory. And God is able to take his glory. Let's not excuse our experiences against the word of God. For me, I'd rather say, let God be true. I am the liar. There's something I am yet to know. There's something I'm yet to align. The part of my obedience is yet to be complete. Once it is complete, then I will get to the point. I will get to the light. Let me find out what it is that I am lacking. That's why it's saying, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to add virtue, to add self-control, so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You understand? I think it's 1 Peter 2. So, it is us to make every effort to add. And when we add, we lack nothing. So, may God's Spirit help us to know what we need to add. And when we add it, then we receive the answer. I think that's the way I can stop for today. And yeah, if you have any reflections.
Today we're talking about the person praying.
Yes.
Now, in an event where you're praying for someone.
Yes.
Yeah, on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And the person is, is not a believer.
Yes.
Does not have that faith.
Yes.
I know God still works.
Yes.
But, because you see, when you see around some of these funny videos they show, the guy is on
wheelchair,
he's on a motorbike, and he's holding on the car, and you say, and your mother is
praying for you.
I think also on the other side.
Yeah.
The grounds have to be prepared to receive the blessing.
True and also not true. Why would I say that? I will say that there are things that God does in mercy. Now, the mercy of God is God's mercy. The same way that we don't know why God chose us, why we are not now in some hole drunk, you know, and just in... It was God's mercy that saw us in time and brought us in. I believe in the time of Saul, there were many persecutors.
Yeah.
The time of Paul. But not all were converted by God to become Paul. But you see, God chose Saul. And that's why he says, this man is my chosen instrument who will take the gospel to the Gentiles. So God, in his infinite wisdom, he knows how to preserve those that he has chosen. That's why when the Bible tells us he knew us even before we were created. He knew us in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. So I believe even among those people who've rejected God for now, there are those who God has his seed in them. And that seed calls them, preserves them until they get to the place of his mercy. That's why you'll find someone, you'll wonder, but this guy was really a mess. But you see, because of that seed, that God had chosen this person, then the mercy prevails. Now for me, God extends his mercy like that to those who are undeserving, and we call that prevenient grace, before they even accept him. That is prevenient grace. But then there are those who have rejected God. And remember in Romans, I think it's 1, from verse 20 onwards, it says, because they never gave glory to God, and they never honored him, he handed them over to a depraved mind. And they did whatever they wanted to do, men after men, and all those things, because they rejected God. So there's a person who has come to truth and has rejected God. In fact, I think it's in where, I think it's Ephraim or some one of the guys. I'll find the verse, I'll show you. Where it says, do not pray for him. Because the man loves his idols. Can you imagine? God told the prophet, don't pray for this person because Ephraim loves his idols. How can God actually tell a prophet, don't pray for this person? This person loves the idols. So that tells you that God is yes and no. So there are those who are in that place, but God still wants them for his purposes and for his glory. And because when that person, God knows, when that person is converted, he will say, I am the chief of sinners, but God's grace was sufficient. And that's why Paul always said, that's why he said, his grace worked in me even more. Because he looks, I persecuted the church. I killed Christians. I was there supervising when Stephen was being stoned, handling the clothes of the people. That's why he says, I am chief of sinners. That's why I worked even more hard. But it was not I that worked, but it's God's grace that worked in me. So we have to always, since we don't know God's plan for everyone, what I say is, let's pray for everyone. Everyone, even our brothers, even those, let's pray for them. Because we don't know what God's hand is. Because God can rescue even the vilest of sinners and turn them to be the apostle of the next generation. God can do it. And even we for ourselves, if we look ourselves, we don't deserve it. But God loved us. So let's pray. And also, faith, for me, I believe, faith works. It can be the faith of the person praying that can heal the person. It can be the faith of the person receiving the healing. It can also be the faith of the parent of the person or the friends of the person who have brought the person who is sick. So, all in all, faith works. So, it doesn't matter where the faith is coming from. But as long as there is faith, remember, anyone that comes to God must believe that he exists. So faith has to be applied. Prayer has to be applied. Belief, and once it is applied, then there is results. God is the rewarder. But how he chooses, it is in his own infinite wisdom. That's why we say God is sovereign. Yeah. So for me, that's how I will reflect that. Yeah. I hope that's a bit clearer.
Yeah.
No, okay. Okay, we can pray then and give thanks to God.